Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us to begin with in the Word of God in the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 37, beginning at verse 1. So Jacob settled again in the land of Canaan, where his father had lived as a foreigner. This is the account of Jacob and his family. When Joseph was 17 years old, he often tended his father's flocks. He worked for his half-brothers, the sons of his father's wives, Bilhah and Zilpah. But Joseph reported to his father some of the bad things his brothers were doing. Jacob loved Joseph more than any of his other children because Joseph had been born to him in his old age. So one day Jacob had a special gift made for Joseph, a beautiful robe. But his brothers hated Joseph because their father loved him more than the rest of them. They couldn't say a kind word to him. One night Joseph had a dream, and when he told his brothers about it, they hated him more than ever. "Listen to this dream," he said. "We were out in the field tying up bundles of grain. Suddenly my bundle stood up, and your bundles all gathered around and bowed low before mine." His brothers responded, "So you think you will be our king, do you? Do you actually think you will reign over us?" And they hated him all the more because of his dreams and the way he talked about them. Soon Joseph had another dream, and again he told his brothers about it. "Listen, I've had another dream," he said. "The sun, moon, and 11 stars bowed low before me." This time he told the dream to his father as well as to his brothers, but his father scolded him. "What kind of dream is that?" he asked. "Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow to the ground before you?" But while his brothers were jealous of Joseph, his father wondered what the dreams meant. Verses 1 to 11, Genesis chapter 37. Then looking in Genesis chapter 50, beginning at verse 14. After burying Jacob, Joseph returned to Egypt with his brothers and all who had accompanied him to his father's burial. But now that their father was dead, Joseph's brothers became fearful. "Now Joseph will show his anger and pay us back for all the wrong we did to him," they said. So they sent this message to Joseph. "Before your father died, he instructed us to say to you, please forgive your brothers for the great wrong they did to you, for their sin in treating you so cruelly. So we, the servants of the God of your father, beg you to forgive our sin." When Joseph received the message, he broke down and wept. Then his brothers came and threw themselves down before Joseph. "Look, we are your slaves," they said. But Joseph replied, "Don't be afraid of me. Am I God that I can punish you? You intended to harm me, but God intended it all for good. He brought me to this position so I could save the lives of many people. No, don't be afraid. I will continue to take care of you and your children." So he reassured them by speaking kindly to them. So Joseph and his brothers and their families continued to live in Egypt. Joseph lived to the age of 110. He lived to see three generations of descendants of his son Ephraim, and he lived to see the birth of the children of Manasseh's son Machir, whom he claimed as his own. "Soon I will die," Joseph told his brothers, "but God will surely come to help you and lead you out of this land of Egypt. He will bring you back to the land he solemnly promised to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob." Then Joseph made the sons of Israel swear an oath, and he said, "When God comes to help you and lead you back, you must take my bones with you." So Joseph died at the age of 110. The Egyptians embalmed him, and his body was placed in a coffin in Egypt. Verses 14 to 26. Genesis chapter 50. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the wonderful way that your word guides us, teaches us, counsels us, molds and shapes us, and shows us more and more your wisdom, your word, and your will. Empower us, Lord, more and more to seek to glorify you as husbands, as wives, as fathers, as mothers, as men and women of God who seek to glorify you in our homes, in our relationships, and in every area of life. Anoint us all afresh with the spirit of prayer. Empower us to be the praying people who walk with you every single day as we walk with you in your word and in prayer. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our producer is Isaac Jackson. He's going to lead us in prayer at this time.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these moments. And Father, thank you so much for the beautiful story of Joseph. And thank you so much for how much it points to Jesus. Father, thank you so much that Jesus came into a foreign land, that he came to feed the hungry, to save the lost, and to give us nourishment in a land where we're starving. Father, thank you so much that we have something good to look forward to, that we have a redemption from this foreign land to look forward to. And Father, thank you so much that you would adopt us into your family. That we would have been family of the one of destruction, family of the one of deception, and that you would call us into your fold instead. Thank you so much, Father. In your holy name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. I want to remind you about our ongoing Ten Commandments project. Of course, one aspect is that part in which if your son or grandson or a young people that you're working with simply memorize the Ten Commandments, recite them to you by memory. All we need from you is a phone call and your mailing address and their size, and we'll mail you a T-shirt with the Ten Commandments on the back. But remember, it's not about the T-shirt. It's about helping to plant the Word of God in the hearts of our children. And, of course, the other part of the project, the Ten Commandments Speech Challenge, gets underway June 1st, which starts next week. June 1st through the 30th, in which we're inviting you to have your young people to basically to write a speech or get someone to help them to write a speech on the first commandment, you shall have no other gods before me, record it, and either use their iPhone or their cell phone or any other means to record it, email it to us. Again, my email, jparker@afa.net or joseph@afr.net, either one. Get it to us during that time frame, again, the 1st through the 30th, and we will get a chance to, our goal is to, for those that are able to share it on a broadcast. It's a great opportunity for your young person to grow in their knowledge of how to take the Word of God, plant it in their hearts, and live it as well. As well as the speeches we get are wonderful speeches whereby they're young people sharing truth. So it's been an exciting project. Last year, I believe we ended up with about 57 speeches from young people. Hopefully, we'll pass that number this year. So again, we're looking forward to many young people getting involved. So keep in mind, again, my email, joseph@afr.net. We look forward to hearing from you and your youth that choose to get involved. We are blessed and honored to have as our phone guest today, Ron Deal. He's the director of Family Life Blended, amongst other things. Brother Ron, how are you today?
I'm good, Joseph. Thank you so much for having me on your program.
Yes, sir. An honor to have you on. And I think you've been on with us before, but it's been a long time. It's actually been years, so we're grateful to have you back on. And if you would just dive right in, Ron, and further introduce yourself to our listeners, as well as tell them what Family Life Blended is about and some of the other endeavors that the Lord has called you to as well.
Family Life Blended is a department of Family Life. Family Life is a large marriage and family ministry that has been in existence now for 49 years. Started originally in Little Rock, Arkansas. We're a division of Campus Crusade for Christ, so we're part of the largest mission sending organization in the world. And Family Life specializes in marriage enrichment training, curriculum for churches, parent training, on and on, a variety of marriage and family related matters. We try to equip and encourage the home to be a place, a lighthouse, you know, to the world and to the next generation. I was brought in 13 years ago because I had developed a specialization in my personal marriage and family ministry, working with step families. And in fact, I was on today's issues. I was trying to do the math, Joseph. I was on today's issues with Tim Wildman probably 25 years ago or something like that. And
okay.
That was one of my first initial national radio broadcasts to talk about what we were doing
okay.
in equipping and empowering families that are blended families or step families, sometimes they're called. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that has been the joy of my life to be able to specialize in that and to equip leaders and other pastors and other couples to help other blended families in their community. So today, Family Life Blended, a division of Family Life, we're the largest blended family ministry in the world. We do equipping training for both couples and families, as well as providing resources for the local church.
Okay. Well, again, really appreciate you being on with us today. And Ron, I want to ask, would you take a moment specifically to pray for our listeners that they would have ears to hear any and all the Lord wants to say to them through the broadcast today?
Absolutely. And I'm going to mention while I'm thinking of it that the way your listeners can get a hold of us to learn more, just go to familylife.com, familylife.com. You'll be able to find the links to the blended family section. But that way you'll be exposed to everything that Family Life is and does for families. Lord, as we continue our conversation today, I want to pray for the blended families of the world. The doors are opening in other countries for us to influence and for the church to be a guiding light to those families who are they're complex by life circumstances, sometimes by their own decisions. Things happen and families get complicated, like Joseph's family that we just read about in the Bible in Genesis. It was a very complicated family. And Lord, yet you work in and through us. Our imperfections are not a problem for you. They never have been. You will work your purposes. And so we're thankful for your redemptive work in all families, shapes and sizes. And we ask for your spirit to teach, to train, to guide, to lead, so that we will be more like your son, Jesus, in how we love one another. Let us be lights in this dark world, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Ron. Now, Ron, would you take a moment now more specifically to further define a blended family, because sometimes some people might think, well, let me tell you, a blended family is just when you have a husband and wife that remarry. But I guess, as I've heard it explained, it's much broader than that. Would you further explain the definition of a blended family?
Yeah. So terminology, it really betrays us. Like, we don't even have words that everybody agrees to. So in some parts of the world, a blended family, when people say that term, they're thinking of a biracial couple. But that's not true for us. What we're referring to is a step family, where there's at least one step parent, step child relationship connected to that home. Now, you started our program talking about Joseph in the Bible. Let me tell you, I'm convinced that part of the story that you didn't happen to read is the backstory that really paved the way for him being hated by his brothers. The coat of many colors was just the straw that broke the camel's back. The backstory is his father, Jacob, had four wives. He only wanted one of them. He only wanted to marry Rachel. He got manipulated by his uncle into marrying Leah. And then that led to two other women being thrown into the mix. And all of those...
Ron, I'll have to jump in real quick, and we'll pick up right there on the other side. Our phone guest today is Ron Deal. He's the director of Family Life Blended. We'll be right back.
Through the fiercest drought and storm,
What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand.
The music of Christian Stanfill with In Christ Alone. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our phone guest is Ron Deal. He's the director of Family Life Blended, a division of the ministry Family Life. Ron, if you'll pick up right there where you left off before we went into the break.
Yeah. So Old Testament families, there's a lot of them that are complex step families, and that's a common narrative. And as you appropriately said before the break, you know, there's a lot of different ways that people find themselves living in a blended family in modern world today. Joseph and his family in scripture was about his dad marrying four different women and having a whole bunch of sons by all those other women. Joseph was the favored son born to the favored wife, and he lived a special life and had a special place in his daddy's heart. You could tell because the other brothers were so jealous of it. And so when he finally brings home that coat of many colors, that's the straw that breaks the camel's back, and they're done with Joseph. That whole narrative is a highly dysfunctional stepfamily. Now, David, who is called a man after God's own heart and got a lot of things right in his life, he also got a few things really wrong and had 17 wives, and some of them under really difficult circumstances. And he, too, had a very complex family journey. Most of the famous families, if I could call them that, of the Old Testament are complex stepfamilies in one form or another. Mm-hmm. Jesus had a stepfather. This is not new in God's people. This is not a new narrative. Mm-hmm. The fact that in our world today, people find themselves in stepfamilies, yes, because one or both of the partners had a previous divorce. That is part of the journey for some people. But it also involves widowhood. Somebody has widowed perhaps after a 30-year marriage, and later in life, this is one of the growing populations that we're finding in our ministry. Somebody in later life who's empty nest, they've been widowed, and they're in their late 60s, early 70s, maybe sometimes in their late 70s, and they choose to get married again. And they're thinking, wow, this is going to be great. It's just the two of us. We get to finish life together. But what they don't realize is that they immediately create adult children who are now adult stepchildren. Mm-hmm. And they have grandchildren who now instantly become step-grandchildren. And so you have these two families that are merging that are three generations deep. And that, too, is a difficult, challenging journey for those family members who didn't choose to become family. But because the couple got married, now we're thrown into a situation where we're going to be family to one another. And how do we do this? There's a third way that people find themselves in blended families today, and then I'll stop and let you react to this. More and more and more, Joseph, we are finding first-time married couples, first marriage for both partners, and yet one of them had a child from a previous relationship earlier in life, and they bring a stepchild to their union, and that is what we call a first marriage blended family. Mm-hmm. That, too, is on the rise in the United States. This is a global phenomenon. Step families are just as common as are nuclear families in the United States. A lot of people don't realize that. Mm-hmm. In fact, if you put step families and single parent families together, that outnumbers first time married couples raising their children. So this is not like a little small element of the church or of our community. This is actually a major demographic, and I would say it is one of the most underserved family types in the country and in the world today, which makes the work that we're doing, honestly, so necessary and important. And we're hoping that more and more people, whether this is your life or your neighbor's life, that you will be able to point to resources like familylife.com and help them find God's word and its application to their family experience.
Mm. You said a mouthful in just a few minutes there, Ron, about you touched on so many different things. You know, you used a term that is, a fairly common term, dysfunctional family. You know, like sometimes you hear people say in different contexts, I come from a dysfunctional family. You know, one of the things I've stated pastorally in that, like, the reality is everybody comes from a dysfunctional family because sin makes us dysfunctional, but some are more dysfunctional than others. But again, as you point out very powerfully, again, blended families have some unique challenges that come from many different directions. Would you pray at this point for the church to really seek to embrace this reality and to really seek to minister with God's wisdom in the midst of it, as opposed to ignoring it? You know, would you pray for the church and church leadership to begin to do that more effectively?
Lord God, your people are everywhere, and one of the things, as someone who served in local church ministry for 20 years of my life, Lord, I know pastors are working hard. They care. They love people. They're trying everything they can. They're busy. They have so many demands on their time, and yet here's one more thing we're asking them to be aware of. It's challenging. Would you give them eyes to see and to connect and to be able to extend hope to families, to people, to couples, to somebody who's dating and thinking about getting married, and to equip and prepare them for the life that they're going to lead and the children that they're going to raise? God, we have such an incredible opportunity to minister to people through the local church. And yet, if we don't see them, if we don't connect, if we don't connect resources to the right people, then unfortunately we miss those opportunities. Would you open our eyes? Would you give us hearts and empower and equip the church to be that bright spot in the life of complex family situations? We thank you, God, for that opportunity. Help us to see it and take advantage of it. Through your Spirit, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Ron, I want to ask you to address this. You know, say a person was talking to you as someone who had heard of the ministry of Family Life Blended, and they said, say it was a young lady who said, well, I have two children and my fiance has two, and we're going to get married, but I plan to love all of our children just the same, and I believe that love will just help us smooth over all the problems. How would you respond to that person?
Yeah, first of all, I would say to her, hey, good for you. Love that. Love your desire, your passion, the commitment you have made to love all the children the same. That's great. Here's what you will experience along with that. You will experience moments where you're really unsure of yourself as a step-parent in ways that you're not unsure of yourself as a biological parent. And so you'll find yourself wondering, well, do I step in? Do I step out? Do I zig or do I zag? Like, it's just different trying to lead children who are unsure of you. Mm-hmm. If you were to adopt a child today, or if you were to foster a child today who had 6, 8, 10, 15 years of life behind them and a lot of experiences, some of which are fantastic and some of which are really difficult, you would not know exactly how to love that foster child. That's exactly what happens when you're trying to love a stepchild. So your goodwill will be met with some realities that will be difficult. One of those realities might be that this child doesn't want you to have you love them. I know that sounds a little odd, but think about it. They're not choosing to love you the way you're choosing to love them. They may actually be offended if you say to them, I love you just the same as all my other children. They may say, well, wait a minute. Are you trying to become my mom? Because I've got a mom, and thank you very much. I don't need another one. Mm-hmm. So sometimes goodwill actually gets people in trouble because that goodwill steps on the heart, the loyalties, the attachments that children have. And so we teach parents and step-parents alike that you have to come in with your desire is good. We want you to keep that, but you have to have a pace P-A-C-E. You have to pace your desire to the heart of the child you're trying to love, not the other way around. You cannot expect them to embrace you the way you want to embrace them. Joseph, I wrote a book with Dr. Gary Chapman. We have more than a dozen books in our Step Family series. We have 8 video curriculum in our series. I do a podcast called Family Life Blended. We do live events and virtual events, events churches can host. We have all kinds of curriculum that's available for families. And one of our core teaching is that I wrote with Dr. Gary Chapman is just because you love them doesn't mean they love you. Mm-hmm. And you have to figure out how to gently move into their heart in a way that they can receive it so that your relationship can grow. One quick illustration, and I'll let you react. Mm-hmm. If I gave you an assignment today, Joseph, and I said, you got a new neighbor. They just moved in. They're a couple doors down from you. Why don't you go meet them today and try to become friends with your new neighbors? Mm-hmm. Well, what you would not do, because I know, Joseph, you are more savvy than this. You would not run down to your neighbor's house and start banging on their doors loud and screaming at the top of your lungs, I'm your new neighbor, I'm your new friend, you just don't know it. Open the door so we can get to know one of them. That is not how you would go about trying to make a friend of that new neighbor, right? Because odds are they're going to call the police on you because they have no idea what's happening, and they're afraid of you at that point. See, safety, emotional safety, comes before trust, and trust comes before love. Mm-hmm. So that's not how you make a new friend, and that's not how you love a new stepchild, because you will scare them off really fast. What you would do if you were going to make a friend of your new neighbor, you'd probably go down and gently knock on the door, and then you would wait. You would stand there until they either talked through the door or cracked the door open to see who's there and what you're about, and maybe they let you in. Maybe they open the door and have a dialogue. Maybe they don't. Maybe it takes a few visits before they finally crack the door open to you. That's the point. You have to gently form a trusted relationship that eventually becomes a neighborly friendship that eventually gives way to a love relationship. Mm. This is how it goes with children. And when adults don't understand that, they inadvertently do things that makes the family dynamic harder instead of easier. That's just one example of the kinds of things that we help people understand about step family dynamics so that they have a more successful family, parenting, and marriage within it.
Well, you know, Ron, you've touched on so many different things, and I guess one of the issues that I think listeners need to be wise about is that on the one hand, we in our humanists, we have ideals that we want to pursue, but then it's helpful to understand the dynamics of the reality and what really happens. And so just learning more about the ministry of Family Life Blended, I think, can be so beneficial in it, because there would be many who may feel like, I don't think I really need that. But in reality, when they begin to face it, come to realize, I need all kind of help. So share again your website as well as resources if people are wanting to better understand what the ministry is about and why it's so critical in our culture today.
Yeah, familylife.com will get you to Family Life. Look for the blended family section and you'll be off and running. The book I mentioned that I co-wrote with Dr. Gary Chapman is called Building Love Together in Blended Families. Building Love Together in Blended Families. Our signature resource is called The Smart Step Family. That book and video curriculum is the most widely used step family curriculum in the world, and it's free. You can go through us, and we'll give you a portal, and you can watch it from anywhere for free. We're happy for people to join us in that way. In fact, if you'll just send an email to blended@familylife.com, blended@familylife.com, we will tell you how you can get access to that.
Okay. All right. Would you pray now for any, maybe a couple that's listening or maybe a family that's really struggling right now about with some of the issues you just talked on? Would you just pray what's in your heart for that family?
Lord, I'm thinking of a grandparent who's listening right now, who's going, man, that's my son's family or my daughter's family, and I'm connected to that, and I care for them, and I just don't know how to help. Lord, I'm thinking of an uncle or an aunt, brother, sister, somebody right now who's going, yep, that's my sister's world in life, and how do I help her? Or maybe I'm talking to a single parent right now who is dating somebody and planning to get married or thinking about the next family phase of their journey, and they're wondering if they should take that step. Lord, I just want all of them to know that you're with them. You care deeply about what they're facing, and there's opportunities for them to learn and to grow and to do so with material that is rooted in your word, in Christian thought and deed. And God, help us to make those connections so that they can get what they are looking for. Lord, I'm going to pray for a pastor right now who does premarital counseling and has never thought that maybe they should do it differently with couples that are going to get married and form a step family than with couples that are just getting married for the very first time. God, preparing to blend is their resource. We want to equip them. We want that pastor to be ready to be able to provide hope for people, for their lives, for tomorrow. So we ask for your grace, God, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our phone guest is Ron Deal, the director of Family Life Blended. We'll be right back.
Do it all you can do. With one word, the mountains move. When you breathe, the dead arise, and the bones come back to life. There is power in this room. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's life.
The music of Life Church with Where the Spirit of the Lord Is. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our phone guest today is Ron Deal. He's the director of Family Life Blended, a division of the ministry Family Life. And Ron, there's so much that so many different directions one can go in addressing this topic. One of the issues, of course, has to do related to blended families, of course, is the challenges and the pain that couples may be dealing with when they're coming from a previous broken relationship. Would you kind of dive in and share some of your thoughts about that?
Yeah, so real common for couples in blended family situations to have a little residue on their heart from a previous relationship that came apart. That's never easy, and it always, you know, makes a mark, if you will, on who we are, and it makes it harder to trust the next time. But let me just back up and generalize that and say that's not just couples in blended families. Really, that's all of us, one way or another, because as you so aptly said earlier, we all come out of a dysfunctional family. I came from a really healthy Christian family, and yet, there's some scars and some residue and some things that were not perfect. That is the human experience. And that stuff turns out even becomes embodied in us. You know, when the New Testament talks about our flesh and how Paul says we're supposed to take off our flesh and live out of the Spirit, Romans 7 and 8, and Galatians 5, you know, don't live by the flesh, but live by the Spirit. Like, this is a very common experience for all of us. The pain of the past gets embodied, meaning it actually becomes neurological in us, that there are little neurological ruts in our brain that go, oh, pain, here's how you react. And that becomes predictive. We can actually map how certain pain in your heart creates a reactivity in your behavior toward other people, toward yourself, that is not helpful, that is often sin-focused. And that embodied part of us is really hard to shake. This past January, my wife and I helped to release a book called The Mindful Marriage. And I have to tell you, this book, although it's not specific to blended families, it's written for all couples, I think it's the most important book I've written for blended families because it dives so deep into the root of this part of us that is reactive and brings more pain to our present relationships. How do we take that off and put on, there's the language of the New Testament, take off your old self, put on your new self. How do we put on who we are becoming in Jesus so that current relationships, parent, children, friendships, relationships as leaders towards those that we are leading, how do we put on that new self so that we're bringing the new creation work that God is doing in the world, and we're now a part of it? We don't want to be part of the old. That's destructive and just brings sadness and heartbreak. We want to be part of the new. And the mindful marriage dives deep into this. What is that part of you that you're stuck? How do you understand it? How do you get rid of it? And how do you move toward the new self? We are so excited about what that book has meant and is doing in the lives of so many people. And I'll quickly add that it is rooted in the work of Dr. Terry Hargrave, who is a genius who has worked in teaching marriage and family therapists for 35 years, just finished retiring from Fuller Theological Seminary, where he finished his work doing that. So it is his clinical applications of how people change and grow into their new self. And we just created that in a user-friendly format so the average person could just pick up a book and learn something about themselves and actually grow from it. That's what the Mindful Marriage is.
Okay. If someone wants to get a copy of that book, again, the title of the book is The Mindful Marriage, correct?
Correct. The Mindful Marriage, and it's available wherever books are sold, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, FamilyLife.com, you name it, wherever you like to buy your books, it's going to be there.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, then. Well, as it relates to your book, I just want to ask you this question. If you could state it in a little bit different way, the message and the mission behind the book, The Mindful Marriage, can you tell us what that would be, the message and the mission behind it?
The mission is to close the gap between the truth we know and the way we actually live. I mean, every one of us goes to church every Sunday and gets reminded of truth. And then we walk out and somehow it doesn't quite follow us the way we hoped that it would. Or there's, you know, that one thing you've been working on your whole life and you still haven't quite gotten there yet. Like, why is there a gap between what I know I should do and be mm-hmm. and what I actually am? And on my good days, there's no gap. But on my bad days, there's a big gap. What is that about? That's what this book is about, closing the gap, helping you understand why your flesh takes over mm-hmm. and what you can do about it and how you can close that gap and move into your new self. Mm-hmm. So that's the mission. The message is the Holy Spirit will help you change, but you're going to have to do some serious work on you. Mm-hmm. Quit looking at the speck in the other person's eye, Jesus said in Matthew 7, and start dealing with the log in your own eye. We help people deal with the log mm-hmm. so that they can become helpful to others who have a speck. You mm-hmm. deal with yourself first. That's the rule of any relationship. You work on you first. Human nature is that I want to work on you, Joseph. You know, I want to work on my wife. I want... Mm-hmm. I could see her specs a mile away. Mm-hmm. That's human nature, but that is not the way we're invited to grow and to change and become more like Jesus.
Mm-hmm. The typical spouse that may say everything would be great if my spouse would just straighten up, you know. So and just that approach. But you know, and I would say this too, Ron. We live in a world and a culture where, to be very honest, like thank the Lord for ministries like Family Life that really focuses on marriage and family in particular. But especially as it relates to marriage, our culture needs so much help when it comes to the whole issue of marriage. There's so many people they are not marrying. They're not looking at marriage, even. In fact, they feel like it's too tough, too hard, too much is asked of you. And so thank the Lord for those ministries, again, like Family Life Blended, that are both addressing it. And the need for many people is to challenge them with God's help, get married. You know, don't try to live without that. So,
and Joseph, what you're bringing up is a really good point. I think the reason a lot of people are avoiding marriage is because of the pain that they carry, this residue of their heart that says, You know, relationship is where you get hurt. Why would you want to do that? They're avoiding it because of pain. That is exactly what this book addresses. It's actually as much for singles as it is for married couples. We just sort of decided to address married couples first. But we know there are applications of the whole, all the principles really are for the individual, because the individual can start dealing with the log in their eye well before they find themselves in an intimate relationship. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to encourage singles to, you know, pick up a copy of this book as well. You're going to find that it's as much for you as it is for somebody who's already married.
Mm. And, you know, I think it's so important to understand too, Ron, that, you know, in reality, in life, every issue is really a discipleship issue, an issue that if it's dealt with according to God's counsel, wisdom, and power, it's fixable. But the key is for us to understand we need God to come into every part of our lives, every single area. I think of this, you know, in a couple of places in Proverbs, it uses the term simple. It basically says, hey, all you simple, how long are you going to stay simple? Well, a modern word for simple is stupid. Hey, stupid, yeah. How long are you going to stay stupid? Sin makes people stupid. It makes them foolish. Yet the more we draw close to God, the more we become wise, gracious, and graceful, and life becomes better. The more we draw into God, first coming to know Christ, but then learning to really follow him and draw closer and closer and closer. So again, every couple listening, I would prayerfully encourage you to get the book and really take serious the wisdom God shares through Brother Ron's book. Ron, share one more time. If they want to get The Mindful Marriage, tell them how they can do that.
You can get it anywhere books are sold. So Amazon, Barnes & Noble, familylife.com. We would be happy for you to purchase it from our organization. That helps to support our ministry. And that gives us an opportunity to point you towards other resources that may be helpful for you as well.
All right. Ron, our time is almost gone. Got just maybe a couple minutes or so left. Would you very briefly just touch on and pray for, would you take time to pray for grandparents? There's so many grandparents that are raising their grandchildren in our culture today. And a lot of them are struggling. They love their grandkids, but are having to deal with them in ways that normally grandparents don't particularly want to have to do. But would you pray for grandparents in our culture today?
I'd be happy to. Lord God, another one of those complex family situations that people face is raising grandkids. Obviously, there's a story as to why they're doing that. Somebody's missing. Somebody is missing in an action, a parent, whatever that circumstance is, and the grandparent, by your grace and power, has stepped in. Lord, would you give them the strength that they need for the day? Would you give them the financial provision they need in order to care for and raise those children? And would you just bless their heart? Because I think sometimes they feel so forgotten and unacknowledged. We don't talk about grandmothers on Mother's Day, you know, but we need to, because they are playing that role and have those duties and responsibilities. So Lord, be with them in an extraordinary way so that they too can meet the task at hand in caring and loving and raising their grandchildren. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, Ron, our time is, again, just about gone. Thank you so much for being with us again today. And share each of the websites you wish to share once again, as well as how to get the book, The Mindful Marriage.
Familylife.com. That's the organization that I work for. If you want to just follow me personally, you can learn a little more about what we're doing. My wife and I, we're speaking, doing mindful marriage conferences. You can learn that at rondeal.org.
All right. And my encouragement to every single listener, please pray much for the ministry of Family Life Blended as well as Family Life Today as well. Father, thank you, Lord, for our brother Ron. Thank you for the ministry of Family Life Blended and the Family Life period as well. Thank you for the work you're doing through them. Father, flood these ministries with your mercy, grace, and spirit. Anoint them with a fresh anointing, and more use them, Father, to minister to your people in view of the many challenges so many people are facing as couples and as families with the challenges in our culture today. More and more, help us to be prayerful, but let your anointing grow so that more and more people could be drawn to the help that you'll send through ministries like these. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Well, as we normally do before we end the broadcast, if you're listening today and you know you've never made the eternally important decision of inviting Jesus Christ to come into your heart as Lord and Savior, today is a good day, a great day to be saved. If you'd like to make that step and ask Christ to save you, to come into your heart and be your Lord and Savior, would you, from your heart, pray this prayer with us right now? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much. You came into the world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. In your word, you told us, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right now, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your spirit. Help me to follow you all my life. Help me to read your word daily. Help me to pray daily. Help me to walk in obedience to you daily. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer and gave your life to Christ, we would like to connect with you. We'd like to share with you some literature and resource materials that will help you to begin to grow up and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. My email to get in touch, joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. Please get in touch with us. We definitely want to get that information to you. Again, joseph@afr.net. And again, please do pray much for Brother Ron Deal and the ministry of Family Life Blended as they continue to do the great work and mission God has called them to. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.